From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to North America's most listened to late night talk show, Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, were there times in your life when you just knew something, you expected something to happen, someone was going to call, and they did, you knew it was going to happen? The psychic in you, what Jeffrey wants. He's our guest next hour on Coast to Coast AM. While in Las Vegas, tense situation, police crashed through a 20th-story window of a Las Vegas hotel casino and arrested a suspected gunman who authorities say killed another man and shot at police and paramedics. Guests were evacuated from several nearby floors at Harrah's Casino, but the casino remained open during the six-hour standoff. People continued to bet. It wasn't immediately clear if the suspected gunman resisted when officers entered the room, but they got him. The gunman and the victim were both identified as guests at the hotel. The war continues in Iraq. A car bomb exploded at an outdoor market in a Shiite area of a southwestern Baghdad area, killing 22 people, wounding 28. It appeared to be the deadliest car bombing against civilians in the capital in weeks. Well, you know, as we reported this story last week, I knew it would end up being a big story. I just didn't expect it to be this big this fast. Now, in a very rare threat to use his veto power, President Bush says he will stop any legislation that attempts to prevent the purchase by a United Arab Emirates-owned firm of the Peninsula and Oriental Steam Navigation Company, which currently runs six major U.S. ports. Breaking a gaping silence from the administration in the debate about the purchase by Dubai Ports World of the London-based P&O company, the president said the deal should go forward and wouldn't jeopardize U.S. security. However, governors in these port areas are upset. Republicans are upset. Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist of Tennessee says he's going to introduce legislation to delay this deal. It's a very strange story indeed. Now, this Dubai firm that won the Bush administration's backing to run these six U.S. ports has at least two ties to the White House. One is Treasury Secretary John Snow, whose agency heads the federal panel that signed off on the $6.8 billion sale of this English company to the government-owned Dubai Ports World, giving it control of Manhattan, for example's cruise ship terminal, and Newark, New Jersey's container port. Snow was the chairman of a company called CSX Rail Firm that sold its own international port operations to DP World for $1.15 billion in 2004. That was a year after Snow left for President Bush's cabinet. The other connection is David Sanborn, who runs DP World's European and Latin American operations. He was tapped by the president last month to head the U.S. Maritime Administration. The ties raised more questions and concerns about this decision to give the port control to a company owned by an area linked to the 9/11 hijackers. Now, the United Arab Emirates is a constitutional federation of seven emirates. The federation was established in 1971. They, as a group, have been very supportive of the United States and the United States military. They buy billions of dollars worth of military equipment and fighter jets. And I assume that this country would like to preserve that. However, these emirates have also been known to funnel money to terrorists. They do so in the process of banks and individuals who are there. You see, these emirates are run by sheiks who at one time their families used to have these little fiefdoms in the area. And most of the emirates make a lot of money with oil. Not all of them, but most of them do. As a matter of fact, years ago, I had an opportunity to know the Crown Prince of Ras Al Khaimah, that is one of the emirates, and I think his father has given him the go-ahead to run that little emirate when he decides to pass on and join the hereafter. This entire situation is a strange one indeed, and I'm going to have for you open lines tonight so you can sound off a little bit about this situation or anything else that you'd like to talk about. Our phone numbers, west of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line is 818-501-4721. And the wild card line is 818-501-4109. I want you to know this, too. I am opposed to any nation running our ports. You know, I didn't know that there was a British company running these six ports at the time. And I'm opposed to that, too. I think the United States, if it's going to remain strong, has got to start doing a lot of this within their own country, within their own borders. And it bothers me that we really are giving away parts of this United States. And that's got to stop. And so whether it's an affront at this company that is owned by the United Arab Emirates or the company in London, my point, and I want to be consistent here, is that these ports should be run by the United States, not by any other nation. You know, President Carter made a huge mistake when he gave up the Panama Canal, and both ends of that canal now are controlled by Chinese-run companies. And make no mistake about it, these are government-owned companies, and it's just ludicrous to continue to do what we're doing here. Now, if this deal goes through, if DP Ports ends up buying this English company, it will be the third largest port company in the world. The third largest. And I think the biggest problem here is one of public relations. There's a lot of groups out there screaming up and down today that, you know, we're attacking this company because it has ties to the Middle East. My point here is that it's a public relations disaster for this country and for the administration. When we're in the middle of a war on terror, where 50% of you are very suspect with what's going on in the first place, then to do something like this just continues to fuel the fire. It does. And I don't understand why the president is so insistent on this when many of his own Republican leaders are opposed to this. There's just something else here. I can't put my finger on it yet, but we were one of the first in the country to break this story last week, and it has taken off like a rocket ship. So I'll be back in a moment. We'll have open lines for you right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Around the world, open lines tonight. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on the air with us. Where are you calling from?
Pennsylvania.
Well, welcome to the program, sir. What's on your mind?
I think this is really ludicrous that they're going to let the Arabs run the ports in this country, man. I think we need to, like you said earlier, keep a handle on these things ourselves, you know, and keep this in the United States' hands. I know it was run by the British before. I didn't even know that. But, you know, here we got all these problems with the worrying about the homeland security and everything. And then they're going to turn around and let these people be bringing all this stuff in here. And who knows what they're going to bring in.
I want to know what happened to the United States people who used to work at all these ports. I mean, I'm sure that before the Brits took over, there were American companies that used to do all this. Whatever happened to them?
Right, right. I'd really like to know that. You know, the Chinese are running the Long Beach the port out there in California. And like they said before on one of your programs, that they only check like 2% of the containers coming into this country. Who's to say that they just don't even open the door and say, yeah, it's all right, and close it, you know? I mean, how closely are they really checking these things?
Absolutely. You know, and they keep saying that this is not a security issue, that this company has nothing to do with security, but that's not the point. I mean, it's obvious that we need to bring America back home. That's the bottom line here. Whether it's a British firm that's running these ports or a Middle Eastern firm or a firm in Australia. It doesn't matter. As far as I'm concerned, we need to start watching what we're doing in the United States. We need to watch our borders. And, you know, I know this is a strange beginning for Coast to Coast tonight, but because we have, all of us, this incredibly intuitive ability about all of us, we tend to see things in advance, don't we? We saw this story last week when it was a very tiny little story that nobody was really talking about. Now look at it. You cannot read a newspaper or watch a television show or listen on the radio without this story being the number one story. And it's going to get worse. I am very curious to see what will happen with the president's popularity in any poll that comes up over the next couple days. Because this is almost overwhelming. There aren't a lot of people out there, unless they're associated with this administration, that really support this situation. I mean, even top Republicans are opposed to this. Wildcard Line, welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hey, George, I heard you earlier on KFI, and I was forced to call in.
Okay, I was doing my promo for the for our local affiliate here.
Right. You know, we must be psychically linked. It goes great with your second part of the show. I was going to say I haven't heard one piece of media, now I have to say except you, that has mentioned the thing that really ticks me off more than anything else in this story. Nobody's talking about it. They're telling us, our own government at every level, that there's not one American citizen, no group of American citizens, no American business that can run our ports or our airlines.
Yeah, you know, I can't believe that. I mean, where were they before this all happened? Before this British firm took over? Gosh, I don't know how long they've been running these ports, but I'm sure we had American companies that did a pretty good job. And you know what bothers me about this? You look across things that are happening in the United States today. I've got friends that are in Pennsylvania. Some of them used to work for Bethlehem Steel. Right. I mean, these places are all closed. You know, steel's coming out of Asia now. I mean, we're a shadow of what we used to be.
They closed in the 70s. In the late 70s, I was driving 18-wheeler and saw Youngstown, Ohio, close down their steel. And people were turning to hookering and stuff. It's terrible. I met a guy here in California where I live. He was all excited. This is 10 years ago. He said, man, I just sold 6 steel plants to China. And I looked him in the eye and I said, yeah, when they build ships, come over here and kill your kids. You'll think twice about your commission. And it just stunned the guy. This other guy was talking about Long Beach. You know, here's another part of the story. How many other things has our government sold off? We have outsourced so many jobs.
That we don't even know about.
You don't know about. The Long Beach Harbor, they've caught containers full of Chinese over and over and over. Now, a lot of this news doesn't make it network-wide. It stays localized here in Southern California.
Well, you know, I'm sure before I opened up my mouth and said anything about this story last week, that maybe it would have just leaked through, or maybe a few other media outlets might have picked up on it. And I mean, this thing is huge now. And I got to tell you, this will be a victory for talk radio. It will be a victory for America if the president says, you know what, I'm going to back off this deal. And, you know, and that's the way it is.
There's much more. I wish you would dig into the other companies. About 10 years ago, I looked into Union Bank. A lot of people don't know this, but our spies and stuff get an American Express card. And so I just happened to have some dealings with Union Bank and different things in American Express. And I go, wait a minute, it's too easy to track these people. Who are these people? I called the headquarters of American Express. And I said, where do you invest your profits? You know what I was told? Outside in foreign investments only. They do not put 1 cent of their profits back in the U.S. This is 10 years ago.
Jeez.
And
crazy.
If you dig into other companies and open up some phone lines to find out what our government has outsourced, I think you're going to have a much larger story.
All right. Thanks for the tip. I appreciate you being on the program. Next up, let's go east of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Dennis from Louisville, Kentucky.
Hi, Dennis.
I have been over in the Middle East. I've seen the, quote, security at these ports, and I've been to Dubai. I've been to Abu Dhabi and the Emirates, and there is no security that you could recognize.
Of course, our administration says we're going to handle the security, not these people, not to worry. But I think that is a big worry because we can't even watch our borders. How are we going to monitor the ports?
Well, the next question is, you've got to ask yourself, why are they doing the outsourcing? And I've got to wonder what Alex Jones would be thinking about this, because I know what my thoughts are, that this is kind of the in-your-face, you know, hey, you're going to have to play by our rules now, and it doesn't matter what anybody says. And I think the president pretty much flat out said that here in the past day or so, that he doesn't care what Congress does. He's going to veto it, and you're going to play by his rules.
Yeah, and let me tell you, it's this situation that is going to get even his own party members to start turning on him, because once this thing, you know, there's big elections coming up this year, and a lot of seats are up for grabs, and you know what, these guys want to save their own neck, and they're not going to follow this path. I mean, it's very possible that even if he does veto it, it's going to get overridden by Congress.
Well, I would hope so, and I hope you keep up the good work, because we need you out there, and keep the pressure on.
All right, you got that. You know, I got an email from someone today who says, thank God we have Americans like you out there that just continue to watch these things and this, put it out there. You know, I'm not right all the time, but believe me. But there are some things to me that are just keenly obvious that after a while, you've got to put your foot down and you've got to say, enough is enough. I mean, and this is enough. It's just absolutely idiotic. We don't even know enough about this company, first of all. First of all, it's owned by the Emirates. It's not like a private company. You know, this is a government-run organization. This isn't like some corporation that's based in some, and again, I'm opposed to any foreigners coming in to run our ports. This is a country coming in. I mean, this is just because they tend to buy hardware from us and military goods. It doesn't make it any stranger for a deal. I mean, these people, we don't even know who they are. I mean, for all we know, there could be some huge American bigwigs involved in this government-owned company making a lot of money. We don't know that because there was not a very good investigation done on this. I think they tried to slide this thing through, and they didn't want anybody to know about it, and they were going to skate by. Well, I did a little checking today on the DP World's website, and they were bragging about how the president has picked one of their senior executives, and I just mentioned it, but on their website, they're bragging about, and let me read it to you. This is on the DP World website. It says, global ports operator DP World welcomed news that one of its senior executives, David Sanborn, has been nominated by U.S. President George W. Bush to serve as the maritime administrator at a key transportation appointment reporting directly to Norman Mineta, the Secretary of Transportation and a cabinet member. The White House has issued a statement from Washington, D.C., announcing the nomination. The confirmation process will begin in February. Mr. Sanborn currently holds the position of Director of Operations for Europe and Latin America for this Dubai-based company. Now, remember how I talk about there are no coincidences? What are the odds of this guy from this company that is going to get the rights to run all these ports? What are the odds that he would now be the maritime administrator? And by the way, if you check and see what maritime administrator is in this country, which is what this guy's job will be, it also says includes defense. So I'm even confused about that. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Oh, hi, George. Rattle off three quick points. This DUFIS committee or CFIS committee, whatever it is, has approved 1,535 deals. They've only nixed one out of that 1,535. You want to talk about outsourcing?
Yeah.
Take a look at that. George Bush may have given us an insight just a couple of days ago when he said that America is addicted to oil and that we are held hostage to Middle Eastern concerns. What if they've really put a hammer over his head and said, look it, buddy, you either go along with this deal or you're going to see $4 and $5 a gallon gas prices in a heartbeat. If you're George Bush, what do you do with a threat like that that would completely disrupt our economy?
Yeah, I don't think it's it. We don't get that much oil from the United Arab Emirates. Trust me, we don't do that at all. This is an Emirates situation. This is not what I would call a Middle Eastern situation. Saudi Arabia and all these other companies and countries will continue to let the oil flow to us. Heck, Venezuela, that can't stand our administration, continues to send oil here. As a matter of fact, they own 14,000 gasoline stations here. Citgo. We'll be back in a moment. We'll continue with open lines in the next hour. It's Psychic Time on Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. We'll be right back. Oh, yes, Russ has got too many names to juggle. Hey, don't forget, by the way, Ian Punnett's program. It's called Coast to Coast Live, Saturday at 6 o'clock until 10 o'clock, and it'll be Art Bell this weekend right here on Coast to Coast. In just a moment, it's called The Psychic in You, Understanding the Harness of Your Psychic Powers with our guest Jeffrey Wands. So get ready for that. Well, just about a week to go, and then I'm not going to be talking about the Predictions television show anymore because it's been on for about a month. But if you have missed it, you can watch it straight off the internet by going to www.predictions.tv or you can go and get the DVD. How do you do that? Well, you go to that same website. Now, there's a link from coasttocoastam.com, but if you just want to go straight to the website, it's predictions.tv. Back to the phones we go, east of the Rockies. It's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yeah, hello?
Yeah.
Hey, George, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
I'm calling because I'm keeping my word. I gave you a promise a year ago through email that I'd call.
I love a person who sticks to his word.
I had asked you if I could use your picture and a Pepsi machine to try and raise money for kids going to...
I remember that.
And the machine didn't sell, I'm sorry. I tried twice, but...
Well, how much did you price the thing for?
I put it up with a reserve of 150. It didn't go.
150 bucks?
Yeah, actually, no. I think it was three.
And with my picture on it, nobody bought it?
I wrapped your picture around a can of Coke.
Did that go?
And I wrote up a big story, and no, it didn't go.
Try it again this year. I'm a little bit more well-known.
Thanks, but I've called because I told you I'd tell you the story of a dog that jumped to its death from a high height.
Or what happened?
Third week of March last year on Hayward Street in Cambridge on a Saturday, I was walking to work, and the street perpendicular to the one I was on, I heard a loud noise, and I looked, and there was something in the street, and a woman came flying out of a building screaming, and I ran down the street. And her dog, she had been up on the top of a roof with a dog taking its photo. And all of a sudden, it bolted, and it ran. It landed almost at the yellow lines. And I had to convince her not to touch it. It was a big shepherd that she had since 96. And I wondered and wondered. And 2 days later, there was an earthquake in Indonesia. So I called your guests, Jim Berkland and Charlotte King.
Right.
And they each had different takes on it, but they're wonderful people. I highly recommend anyone call them, send them a couple bucks. They're beautiful people. Charlotte thought there could be an effect from an earthquake so far away that an animal would feel it.
And just get that whacked out. He would just go.
Yeah, I mean, the woman had the dog a long time.
That is weird.
But later, you had a guy about a month ago who talked about EMP weapons. And I was right in the same place at MIT where guys invented radar and all kinds of stuff. And I wouldn't put it past some derelict graduate student to aim something at a dog either.
Well, or just aim it up at the building or something like that. I mean, it is true that during earthquakes, for example, animals can sense things. Jim Berkland tracks them in newspapers, missing animals. But in this particular case, you got a dog that takes a dive out of a high-rise. That's a strange story. Let's go next to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hey, George. Nice talking to you. Long-time listener.
Thank you, sir.
First-time caller. Been trying for 5 years, and the first time I've gotten through.
Well, good for you. Now, what compelled you to call tonight?
Well, you were talking about the situation with Dubai buying our ports. And while I don't believe it started out this way, I see a way this could actually turn out to be very good for us.
How? Tell us.
Have you ever tried hunting a dangerous animal?
Well,
like a bear or a tiger?
I don't hunt, so I guess I can't say that I've tried.
Okay, well, hunting a dangerous animal is very difficult because they themselves are hunters. You can't hunt them the same way you do, say, something like a deer.
Good point.
If you go to Africa, they hunt animals days at a time, literally chasing them down till they collapse from exhaustion.
Right. They don't stop.
The smarter tribes dig pits to lure them into. We could do the very same thing with the people we're after.
How do you know they're not building the pit?
Well, you don't generally build a pit on your enemy's soil.
Yeah, you're not supposed to, but maybe they're doing a little reversal on us.
Maybe so, but I believe we're smarter than they are.
Gosh, I hope
either way,
so.
This could be a very good method of luring them in just so we can catch them.
I would rather they not even have control.
Oh, I agree. It's not an ideal situation. Simply, we can make something good out of it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just that we've lost so much. I mean, it's not even like the United States of America anymore. It's more like a federation. You know, it's, you know, when they talk about a one world government, and we used to kid about it years ago, and then the more I started doing Coast to Coast, the more I began to realize that this is a very real, distinct possibility.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up, George, because there's actually another security problem I wanted to alert you to that nobody is paying any attention to whatsoever, and you might want to look in on it.
What is it?
Things like Iran would prove that a nation can be our friend one day and our enemy the next. Wouldn't you agree?
True.
At this very moment, we are considering selling the most sophisticated piece of combat machinery ever built to another nation, and Congress is actually considering it.
What's the nation? What's the machinery?
We are considering selling the F-22 fighter, which we spent decades and billions designing, to Japan.
Well,
now,
see,
you
know what's so strange? Right now, Japan's one of our dearest friends, right?
Mm-hmm. But you see, not only does this create the problem of what happens if they become our enemy, we can do something about people spying on us here. We can't do anything about China spying on Japan.
Well, see, I'm not concerned about Japan being the problem for us. I'm concerned about China one day attacking Japan and then getting that technology. But you know what? We probably sold the technology to the Chinese anyway a long time ago. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go next to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yes, George. This is Dave in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Hi, Dave.
Real quick, I just had actually a comment about what you were talking about earlier about this Dubai case here.
Sure.
One thing I heard on the news here, it was a news about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning just a couple of days ago. Generally, they put news that out when they don't want people to hear it that time of day. Oh, yeah. Ironic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, anyways, for it, I heard him say something about the fact that I think Cheney or some of his cohorts basically are trying to reclassify documents that were already out about the Cold War times, basically. They're trying to go ahead and reclassify them to go and keep them top secret.
True story. And I think these documents go back to at least 1948.
Yeah, well,
at least.
Yeah. Well, that's where, I mean, we as a people, we as Americans need to learn to connect the dots.
They're taking declassified documents that have been out in the system that a lot of people haven't even been through yet.
Exactly.
And they're grabbing them and they're classifying them again. We can't get to them.
Yeah, well, that leads to the question, what are they hiding?
Exactly.
I mean, they're trying to go on top of the tracks that they're doing.
Yeah, and there may be a couple things they need to pull quickly, and so instead, they pull them all.
You got it.
Yep.
That's how they work.
No,
like
you are absolutely right. That is happening.
It's like playing chess.
Yep. Appreciate you being on the program. Next up, first-time caller line. You're on the air, and where are you? Hello?
This is Dennis. Hello, Los Angeles.
Hi, Dennis. Go ahead.
Yes, I have lived in the Emirates for over 10 years. And just recently, I was over there. And one of the things I talked to the family members who are part of that corporation about was, yes, it's an economically viable project, projects plural, but gentlemen, this is a political situation you have to resolve before you can go any further, or else it's going to have a head of steam on it when it meets the Congress. And what you'll see is something that you've never seen before. You're going to turn the American public on and off at the same time.
You told them this?
Of course. I've been friends with the Maktoum family for years.
Well, so, they are one of the big ones.
Well, they knew all about this. But they were given assurances that this was going to go through. So I said, well, good luck. And that was only 3 weeks back.
Did you, if you know, do you know who's truly involved with this company beyond just those in the Emirates? I mean, are there Americans that are part of it? I mean, somebody's got to be making some money here.
There are British. There are Americans. This had to go through the same process in the United Kingdom no more than 2 months ago. And there was a flack as big as there is there, as there is right here, right now. So it's not something that's new to us. This is something that actually had to go through the same process in the United Kingdom before they allowed the sale of CNO to Dubai World Ports.
Who owned the British company? Was that a privately owned company, do you know?
CNO has been one of the largest port operators in the entire world for years. And it is a privately held company. That is correct.
So someone's going to make a lot of money.
Huge amount of money, because this is only the tip of the iceberg. This is the Emirates' way of putting the money back out there into the system.
Well, let me ask you that, because first of all, the Emirates have more money than God, so they don't really need to buy other businesses and generate additional revenue unless they think they're going to run out of oil one day. So what do you think their motivation is here?
I think this is a way of them economically muscling their way into the economic world as it is out there. They are here to say, we are here. We want to be known as a friend of the U.S., which they have been for quite a number of years, except for a couple of bad apples. But Tiger Woods just came over there. He played in the Dubai Open, X millions of dollars.
Where's Michael Jackson? Isn't he living over there somewhere?
He's living over in Bahrain.
Bahrain, that's right.
Marching around the...
Bahrain. Bahrain is the area where there's a bridge connecting Saudi Arabia to Bahrain where they don't drink in Saudi Arabia because it's against the religion,
right.
But they drive across the bridge and go to Bahrain and they party all night.
That is correct.
Yeah.
And Dubai is probably the most forward-thinking emirate of all of the other ones. And it is certainly, by far, the friendliest towards the United States.
So I have no problems with the Emirates as an ally to us. My point is that these ports should be American-run. This is the time now we should put our foot down and say, enough is enough. We're not going to do this anymore. Plus, it's a bad public relations move, as you told them.
It is purely a public relations move, and they thought that they had that covered by their representatives here in this country.
Yeah, somebody slipped.
But the other thing is that the ports in this country, as well as airports, find out who owns the airports, and you'll see the bigger picture, not just the ports of this country.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Later.
By the way, my friends in St. Louis called me today, and they had a story that the FBI is now investigating a trucking firm in Missouri that has been training a whole bunch of strange people with strange last names, trucking companies. And, of course, if you've kept abreast of the terrorism stories, the next wave, they think, could very well come from tanker trucks. So the FBI is actively pursuing this on a tip by someone who was working at the trucking firm that they were training dozens of people. And that's what should have been done a long time ago, I guess. West of the Rockies, your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, this is Don from San Diego.
Hi, Don. What's on your mind tonight?
First-time caller, long-time listener. Well, been trying to get through for 4 years.
Welcome. You must be listening on Kogo out there, huh?
I am, exactly.
Great station.
George, I just want to say you're a valuable asset to the airwaves.
Well, thank you.
I just actually wanted to share with your guest, yourself, I mean, and the audience, because I know somebody would definitely call in and maybe confirm this, has some homework, but on my television, basic TV plugged in the wall with no cable, I see flashed across the top of my screen so fast, too quick to read for the human eye, but in an Arabic language, in increments of 10 minutes. Last time I saw it, actually the second last time I saw it was Saturday night during the movie Castaway. on ABC or NBC. And if somebody wanted to send somebody a message, obviously all they had to do was record it and slow it down and read the message.
How weird.
And I've been seeing this more than 12 occasions.
Is anybody else seeing this?
I'm having two other people confirm it right now.
Okay, let me know.
I will, definitely.
And have you been able to record it in time?
I don't have that
capability
part of Hi-Fi yet, but okay. I'm actually working on that.
Okay, I'd be very interested to see that. And I've got some people who could decipher that for you.
Yeah, and I know somebody from your audience would definitely be able to help anybody out on that.
All right, strange story.
Thank you.
All right, thanks. Appreciate you being on the program. Next up, Wildcard Line, it's your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is John from Southeast Texas.
Hello, John. Thanks for holding.
I want to agree with you 100%. I don't think any foreign country or any foreign entity should be allowed to own or control any American port. Let me tell you a harrowing story that'll really send a chill up your spine.
Okay.
Now, I was a much younger man in the Merchant Marine before I joined the Navy. This was in late 1965, so I was 19 years old at the time. And I was on an intercoastal cruise on an American merchant ship, and I was talking about security because, of course, this was right in the middle of the Cold War, and I was talking security with one of the ship's officers at the time, a really nice fellow, and I was talking about, well, how the Russians could attack us and how we had to prevent such an attack, and he said, John, if somebody wanted to attack us, the missiles won't be the way that they'll do it. I said, how's that? He said, they're liable to take a foreign flagship and sail it into one of our ports with a nuclear device in one of the cargo holds.
And just blow it right there.
Just blow it right there and destroy the entire port. And the captain and the crew may not even know that that device is in there. And this man had the genius and the foresight to see something like this over 40 years ago in late 1965. Now, I think what President Bush is doing now is tantamount to appointing Vicente Fox as the new head of U.S. immigration.
It is so strange. And I'll tell you, the strangest part of this whole story now is his vehement insistence on vetoing anything that even a lot of his own party members are saying, don't do this.
His party members are bailing off that like a sinking ship, like rats off a sinking ship, because I think it's becoming more and more obvious to me that President Bush is being controlled by these organizations like the Council on Foreign Relations, who are the one world globalists behind all of this. And I hearken back to the great Senator Barry Goldwater's book with No Apologies, when he quoted Winston Lord, who was at that time the longtime head of the Trilateral Commission. And Winston Lord was bragging, the Trilateral Commission doesn't secretly rule the world. The CFR does that. Like we were supposed to think that's funny. Well, it isn't funny because we're losing our sovereignty. The president tells us on one hand he has to spy on all Americans to keep us safe and secure, yet he has our borders that are so wide open and so porous they're like a sponge that anyone can come into our country. And now he wants to give control of our ports, our vital seaports, to people of very questionable background, and not just the Arab countries, but any foreign country.
Well, we also don't even know who they are. That's
exactly
what's so bizarre about this.
Exactly. And, George, the whole point is this is America. What in the world are we giving control of any part of American soil to any foreign government?
I agree. Agree wholeheartedly.
So I think Mr. Bush better think about this twice, because he's going to be the lone man out there on the prairie, and he's going to have people from both parties just scrambling to override his veto, because he's going to look like a real, real traitor on this one.
Tell you what, as tough Americans, we got to stand on this one and not let it go.
This is nothing short of treason, George.
Well, that's tough, but I wouldn't go that far. But I tell you what, it is not a wise decision.
Oh, I agree 100%, and hopefully wiser heads will prevail.
All right, thanks for your insight. Appreciate it. If you need to email me, like so many of you do, with tidbits and a little bit of information every now and then, that's simple. That's George at Coast2TO. You've got to do that. Coast2CoastAM.com. It'll get right to me. Those of you who are on computers while you're watching the listening to the show, you can register for Fast Blast. That is free. There's no cost involved. And you can just send us messages like that. You put your email address in there, and off it goes. And we have installed a new system now, as you well know, that I can see you in your home. So be careful. I'll be back in a moment.